Here's your Money Briefing. I'm J.R. Whalen at the Wall Street Journal in New York. The trend toward using reusable bottles is forcing companies like Nestle to rethink their business model for water. We'll check in with a Wall Street Journal reporter for details. First, some money and market news you should know. The cost of shampoo, rinse, and repeat is leveling off. Unilever, the maker of Dove and Tresemme products, has launched a price war with Pantene maker Procter & Gamble and a surge to boost its market share. Unilever raised prices on products like mayonnaise and ice cream in North America this year, but capped its shampoo price increase at about 0.5% to compete with P&G. This isn't the first time the two companies have gone to battle over suds. In 2001, Procter & Gamble paid Unilever a multi-million dollar settlement after P&G admitted to spying on Unilever's hair care division. Now, hair care is a key battleground for consumer products makers. Shampoo has strong profit margins and easy opportunities to innovate just by minor changes to ingredients. What does it take to be a part of the 1%? The IRS says earnings of $515,000. According to its most recent data, the IRS says 1.5 million people reported between $515,000 and $2.3 million as their adjusted gross income in 2017, putting them among the wealthiest 1% of Americans. But what about being among the super rich, like the 0.001%? The IRS says $63.4 million in annual income is the starting point. Who has that kind of money? Turns out about 1,400 people reported income at that rarefied level in 2017. Nestle is refreshing its bottled water business to keep sales numbers from going down the drain. And Wall Street Journal reporter Sabra Chowdhury joins us from London with some details. You might say that Nestle rode the wave on bottled water, pardon the pun, Sabra, but is the tide turning now?
Yeah, so it's interesting. I think that bottled water sales, as you said, they grew for a very long time, and the market is now matured quite a lot. So it isn't just Nestle that's having a problem. Bottled water volumes overall are slowing. And so I think they're at about 4.8% growth right now. They were about 8% just a few years ago. So we're really seeing a pretty sharp slowdown in the U.S. And I think some of that is pretty natural. It's just the market actually maturing. Some of it has to do with the fact that there is more competition, ready-to-drink tea and coffee and sports drinks and energy drinks. For Nestle, I think the big problem that they're having is that they were quite late to this sparkling, flavored, functional waters category, which has really taken off in the U.S. And Nestle started rolling out products in that category in a big way only last year. So they've kind of missed a little bit of that big jump.
And the growth of water was really propelled at one time by people turning away from sugar drinks. And so there seems like consumers' tastes have evolved a couple of times.
Yeah. And I think the same way the bottled water growth has slowed, we're seeing the decline in sugary soft drinks also slow. And I think that's just natural. People, you know, the most health conscious people are going to leave really quickly. And then after a period of time, the consumers who've stayed are just going to stick around and say, hey, we like drinking Coke or we like drinking Pepsi. We're not going to stop. So consumer tastes have changed. I'd say overall, people are still really health conscious. It feels like now, though, people want more from bottled water than just a bottle of still water. They're looking for the sparkle and the flavor that comes with a carbonated, sugary soft drink, but they want like a healthier version of it, which is why they tend to then reach for these sparkling and flavored waters. And you drink less of that stuff. So you're not going to be drinking, you know, a huge bottle of a sparkly flavored water the way you would have drunk a big bottle of still water.
And there's also a big push for people to stop using single-use plastic and carry their sustainable water bottles. How is Nestle trying to address those environmental concerns?
Yeah, and I think that's a really big one for the industry. And it's a long-term trend that I don't believe is going away anytime soon. I think this industry is the most vulnerable to it, more than sugary soft drinks or anyone else, because essentially you can drink bottled water out of the tap. And I think the industry really benefited from the convenience factor of buying that grab-and-go $1 bottle of water to stay hydrated with nobody really worrying about the plastic before. Now, Nestle is trying a couple of different things. So it's trying to up how much recycled plastic it uses, and it needs to do that because that's actually European regulation that's being rolled out, but it's trying to do that all over the world. And it's also trying to develop alternative materials to plastic. So steel and water have historically just not done very well when it comes to actually appealing to bottled water consumers. Nestle, Coke, Pepsi, all of these companies are looking into developing machines, and some of them have actually already rolled these machines out where you can pick your level of carbonation, you can pick which flavor you want, you can pick your size, and then you just bring your own bottle, essentially, and you refill it at this machine. And so you pay with your credit or your debit card, and that's another alternative way for companies to make money from the water without necessarily having to offer it in a container that you use once and then throw away.
Now, you mentioned sparkling water earlier. Nestle has a couple of still water brands, Poland Spring and Pure Life, but they also have more upscale sparkling brands, San Pellegrino and Perrier. How are they doing in those markets?
They're doing well. I think it's just those are relatively small businesses in the U.S. compared to the bigger brands like Pure Life and Poland Spring, which you'll see much. I mean, in New York, you go and go to any food cart and you will get a bottle of Poland Spring. So I think they're still building those brands up. I think you get them at more kind of upscale restaurants and upscale supermarkets. And I think the idea is, well, how do you retain those really upscale kind of niche brands while simultaneously, or the niche nature of those brands while simultaneously scaling them up? And that's what they're trying to do right now. They've said that they are going to step away from focusing on the lower margin brands, which are seeing a lot of competition from so-called private label offerings from supermarkets, and instead focus on these higher margin brands that really differentiate themselves by saying, we come from this special spring in this special place, or our water offers you this health benefit that no other water does, or, you know, some kind of differentiating factor, whether that's the luxury or the health, that will really make people reach for that particular bottle of water over just whatever supermarket brand water they can get for cheap.
There's quite a bit of competition in this market. Is Nestle seeing pretty much the well-run dry for their water division?
No. I mean, they are the world's biggest bottled water maker by far. And I think a slowdown is significant because it indicates the whole category is struggling because they're so big. But no, I think they're still, particularly in emerging markets where a lot of companies tend to look to offset slowing growth in the West, there's still tons of runway for growth. I do think, though, that it makes sense for them to be pivoting away from some of the really mass market offerings because, yeah, there's just so much more competition in that space. But I think they've invested decades in brands like Perrier and San Pellegrino. And so I think there's probably quite a strong runway for growth for brands like that, as well as the newer offerings in the sparkling flavor.
All right. That's Wall Street Journal reporter Sabra Chaudhary joining us from London. Sabra, thank you so much for being on the show.
Thanks for having me.
And that's your Money Briefing. I'm J.R. Whalen in New York for The Wall Street Journal.